Ryan Rashog joins us. And Shogger, you know, it's an interesting one. The North Division so far has been COVID-free. Haven't even had a player in COVID protocol during the regular season. But the Oilers have one now, and we'll see if, you know, what this means for Puljujärvi. It's funny. If it is him and he's out, like, he'd actually be, like, 3 weeks ago you'd never thought it, but Puljujärvi's been the second-best guy on the Oilers' top line. He'd be a big loss.
Yeah. So, we got to wait to figure out a couple of things. I think it's important to note that this does not mean that he's tested positive. There can be inconclusive test results, and we've heard lots about these. There were some in the bubble. Like, we've heard lots about inconclusive results. And so what I'm just trying to figure out is what protocol kicks in the case of an inconclusive result. My guess is what would happen is they would treat it like it was could be a positive, and they would just kick in the protocols, which is a confirmatory, like they re-spin those, that same test again. They test it again, and then there's certain protocols that kick into place. So if they were to test an inconclusive result and it were to be positive, then all the protocol kicks in where the player has to isolate, there's contact tracing with the team. Like, if there were a positive test on the Oilers today, they likely would not be able to play the game tonight due to a positive, due to contact tracing. So the fact that they've just backed it up an hour while they wait for results to come in does indicate that, you know, maybe that this was inconclusive. And if there's a negative test result that comes back, if they confirm it as negative, that player is still unavailable for the game because there's a protocol that has to take place. But then it wouldn't require the contact tracing. Right, so if you retest a guy because it was inconclusive, and his retest comes back negative, you don't need to go through the whole protocol of contact tracing, which would be most of his teammates. So I think it's important that it's not a guarantee that it's a positive test, and I think it's there's a good chance that it was an inconclusive that they're just dealing with.
Yeah, you never know. Right? You don't know what it is. Hopefully, for Puljujärvi's sake, that's all it is, because I wouldn't wish COVID on anyone, because you don't know how serious it'll be. But so James Neal, who actually prefers to play the right side, is the one who would come in case Puljujärvi can't go. From your conversation, Shogger, let's say it's inconclusive, and it turns out that it is. So then Puljujärvi still could play?
No. You know, if a player, so my understanding is that if a player has an inconclusive result, they would obviously have to make certain that it was a negative.
Yes.
And even if it comes back as a confirmatory negative, there is still a protocol that potentially has to kick into place. And this is what I'm waiting for clarification from the league on. Because if a player tests positive and then they make sure by checking the results again and it comes back negative, then there is a protocol that kicks into place. They have to be tested again 24 hours after that sample was collected. So it depends on what the protocols are for an inconclusive test, if that's what it was. But I think there would need to be another negative test within 24 or 48 hours for that player to then come off of. So a player can be a part of NHL's COVID protocol without ever having tested positive. It doesn't guarantee that it was a positive test. But he might not be available even in the case of a confirmatory negative test.
Okay. Okay, so even if they confirm, let's say even if he tests negative again at whatever time they're doing the tests, that he still wouldn't be eligible to play is what you're saying.
24 hours, a second respiratory sample is collected 24 hours after the first sample was collected. Individuals whose second sample test results return positive will be considered a confirmed, required to isolate. Individuals whose second sample test results return negative will remain in isolation until a third sample is collected 24 hours later, 48 hours from the initial sample. And then if that third sample is negative, they can exit isolation. So, but the thing is, that's if you started with a positive. So I don't know what the protocol is if you start with an inconclusive, then you return a negative. I think you still have to wait and return another negative. So it just the protocols aren't that specific. But my understanding is that Puljujärvi is likely not available tonight either way.
Okay. Mike Smith will be in goal. And the Montreal Canadiens, they're a team that is very good at generating offensive chances. They're pretty good at limiting offensive chances. And when the Oilers played him, like when they played Carey Price, the Oilers' power play couldn't score. They generated some great chances there. But they didn't do a lot 5-on-5. They're going to have to be better generating chances tonight 5-on-5 to have a shot.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, ideally, your power play doesn't go 0-for as well. I mean, 0-for-10 in that series, there were certain points in those two games where a little bit of a kick in the butt from the power play might have been able to swing a game. I mean, they were down 5-0 and 3-0 in those two games, and the power play could have made a bit of a difference there. So I agree, though. 5-on-5 need to be better, need to generate more than they had. But they've got three lines that are pushing positive numbers right now, and I think that's a big difference heading into this game. That third line, if they can have another positive outcome from that third line that they've pieced together, that's a much different look tonight for them. So, and the power play is definitely, although it's gone dry here the last couple, it's definitely in a way better place than it was when they went 0-for-10 last time around against Montreal.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. You know, Dave Tippett kind of out of nowhere found a line that none of us expected. I'm not even sure he expected it to be as good as Kara, Ennis, and Archibald
yeah.
have been. But no, and I don't say that as a knock. I just think can illustrate where.
It's like Joey making the cake, right? He's just sort of throwing whatever into it, you know? Like, meat? Good. Like, who knows what if they just chuck a bunch of stuff into the blender and holy smokes. That actually didn't taste too bad. And you're exactly right. I don't think we would have pieced that line together thinking this is going to be the third best line on this team.
Oh, gosh. No, not at all. Not at all. And
good, though.
Now, though, it's a matter of can they find another trio to be a consistent bottom six line, right? Like, that's going to be the challenge.
Yeah. And are they going to try tonight? Are they going to dress three forwards on that bottom line?
Oh, you think they might go with seven? Yeah, they could, I guess.
Well, sure. Yeah, they could again. I mean, he spoke positively about Slater Cuckoo the other day.
Yeah.
And he was kind of unprompted. It wasn't a specific question about Cuckoo. I think it might have been when I asked him if one of their guys on the right could actually play left. Anyway, he kind of went out of his way to compliment Slater Cuckoo. Doesn't exactly have guys tearing the door down on that fourth line. And then the other thing he said was that he kind of didn't mind the seven defensemen because it kept the matchup game off balance, right? The other coach, like when you're throwing McDavid out there with that fourth line or Draisaitl with that fourth line, it kind of mucks around with the matchup game a little bit. So I thought he was going to be done with that 11-7 thing. But then his answer the other day made me think, oh, okay, maybe he didn't mind it so much. But Shore was on the ice this morning. And I believe Shore was skating. It's hard to tell because I was just watching through the RDS camera feed. But I believe Shore was skating today with Turris. And what's that?
Chason, right?
And Chason, yeah. I believe that's they were the ones skating together. But we just don't know if he'll keep all those guys in or not. I mean, you would put them together and let them practice together because that just makes sense. And then if you make the decision to play 7D, you just pull one of them.
Yeah, totally. All right, because that was the line they played last game, and so it would make sense for sure.
Did you see him going with Chason and Shore as the extra forwards? Or do you think Turris goes
well,
in
he did.
Either way?
Oh, yeah, I don't see him taking Turris. So because, you know, he mentioned Turris about winning some key draws lately for their team. Like, he was 60% in the face-off circle.
Yeah.
So I think he's looking for any kind of small positive step forward for that. And so, no, I think that I don't think he's – based on the last game they won, I'd be surprised if that's the game that forces Turris out of the lineup.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair. But he's – I mean, he's –
why, would you take him
like
out?
No, I don't think so, but it feels like he's pulled other guys for less. You know what I mean?
No, that's fair.
He's had more rope, and that's just what you do sometimes. So, but he definitely needs to get his game on track. Like, Montreal is a team that will expose him in some ways. You know, they're a pretty fast team, and they play the game a certain way, and you need to be heavy and hard on your stick, and you need to be ready to go into all these battle scenarios and outwork and come out with it. And that's some of the areas where he's been lacking. So it'll be interesting to see how he makes out. And Montreal will be hungry. Like, they're not going to be happy about a loss last night. And, yes, it's the second night in as many games, but they're going to be a hungry group.
Yeah, it's interesting, though. 2 weeks ago, Montreal was 6 points up on the Edmonton Oilers.
Yep.
And since then, the Oilers have gone 5-1. Montreal's gone 3-3. And, you know, they don't give up a lot. But I, like, guys, like, when you look at, okay, Drysdale, McDavid, they're on a heater. But they're on a heater to the point where you think they can sustain it. Tyler Toffoli's heater, I don't think that's sustainable, right? Like, he's not a guy who scores that often, right? And they're going to hope to beat you by committee, but I still felt the weakness in Montreal was going to be down the middle. You know, Deneau hasn't scored, and you got Suzuki and Kotkaniemi, who are both young guys. And I think that's an area where Edmonton can take advantage tonight, that, you know, if you play sound defense, I don't believe Montreal has, like, the real high-end talent to just crush you offensively. Josh Anderson's rolling, and I like him a lot. But yep. If Edmonton can play sound defensively tonight and generate some power plays, because their power play is way better now than it was when they played Montreal the first time, then this is a winnable game. But they just – because I don't think Montreal – like, they don't have a Matthews. Like, they don't have a game-breaker on offense. They got good guys, but they don't have a game-breaker in my eyes.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair to point out in this matchup. You know, Jonathan Drouin has enough skill that at any moment he can make something happen, but he's not always the best at picking the moments and making it happen all the time. Nick Suzuki is one of the best young centers up and coming in the game. He's just such a good player to watch. So there's lots there. Anderson has been really good. Gallagher competes hard, you know. There's a fair amount there, but I get what you're saying. The Oilers win the game-breaker battle every single time. Thing is that Petrie has just been phenomenal on their back end. You know, Shea Weber is a difficult guy to play against. Edmondson has been good for them as well. Like, that combination of that blue line and, you know, when Carey Price goes, and they've actually got two pretty good goalies, so... that's the tough combination right there, is the blue line and the goaltending, and you bang up against that. But the Oilers win the game-breaker battle every time, for sure.
Oh, yeah, no, Montreal. I will say this about Carey Price, though. This is like coming on 3 years now where he hasn't had great numbers. So you're just a little bit. Tony Marinaro is going to join us right now about Carey Price, because think about this. Like, Jake Allen is just crushing it right now.
Yep.
And if Carey Price doesn't waive his no-movement clause, which I don't think he does, they're going to have to expose Jake Allen to Seattle in the expansion draft. And he would be easily the first choice of a goaltender that you would take.
Yeah. Yeah, especially if he keeps rolling and keeps putting up, putting up good numbers. What's his save percentage? Like 940-something? 946?
940.
Like, man, Carey Price is sitting at 892. That's definitely interesting. Yeah, an interesting point you make. Or did I just give you bad numbers? Are those up-to-date stats I'm looking at?
No, it's 940. I don't worry. I looked it up. It's 940, okay, and a 181 goals against for Jake Allen.
Okay, yeah. This site's a little bit out of date. But, that'd be a good starting point for Seattle to have a guy that's playing the way Allen, the way his year is going. But, yeah, we'll see. This will be interesting tonight. I mean, I wouldn't go so far as to call it kind of like measuring stick game for the Oilers, because – you know, as you pointed out, Montreal's come back a little bit, but, you know, what do you think Montreal's record would be had, you know, you gave their record over the last couple of weeks, but you dropped four games against Ottawa and they're against Montreal, and their record's probably a little better than it has been over the last couple of weeks, too. So the Oilers are better, for sure. More elements of their game are going, for sure. Montreal is going to be real stiff competition for them and a good test.
Shogart, enjoy your extra hour before the game starts tonight.
Okay, sounds good, buddy. You too.